So it's a little difficult to put together a presentation to talk about everything you need to know about non-resident alien tax, but also hit the high points. So today what I'm going to try to do is to go through a little bit of a review, and then I have some in-depth information, I think, in talking about some of the forms and payments to foreign entities. And then there have been three or four topics that I've been seeing on the various listservs or that's coming in from our clients as questions that I wanted to just touch on because I've been a little concerned with some of the information out there. So we'll get started by just talking about how this issue comes up, because I know that sometimes at a controller's level, at a VP of finance level, the question is, what's the big deal? Like, why do we care about these payments that might be made to foreign nationals? And sometimes the wrong language is used, the wrong words are used in that discussion. But we have, kind of for all intent and purposes, a separate tax system for non-resident aliens. And so that is carved out under Section 1441. And 1441 basically requires, as a point of our tax law, that any withholding agent that makes a payment to or on behalf of any person or entity who might be considered a non-resident alien to deduct and withhold and remit the tax to the IRS equal to approximately 30%. And we all know that it wouldn't be fun, it wouldn't be taxed if we didn't have a lot of exceptions to the rule, right? So then we have the regulations that come along to Section 1441 that are about 300 pages long that give us all the ins and outs and all the nitty-gritty details of what to do. That sometimes is still not enough for a VP of Finance to say, okay, so I know I'm supposed to do it, but how am I supposed to know who to ask questions, what questions to ask, and so forth? And, you know, what's going to happen if I don't ask the right questions? Because in many of your accounts payable systems, or certainly out in the Wild West of student accounting, there's not a lot of questions that get asked. We are accustomed over in accounts payable to making payments under the U.S. tax system, where we really only have to know as much as the department wants to tell us, right? So as far as like getting it set up under the correct GL account, if the department wants to call it an honorarium or a speaker's fee or services or miscellaneous, they just stick a GL code on it and we go from there. And that's not at all what we can do under the non-resident alien tax system, because we have a requirement that says if the withholding agent does not withhold the correct amount of tax, up to 30%, if you don't withhold it, remit it to the IRS, then congratulations, you get to pay it. And that is different than anything under the U.S. tax system. It is one of the few possibilities of double taxation, because this issue is for the withholding agent if you don't do your job, but the taxpayer still has to do his or her fulfill his or her responsibility and potentially pay the tax when he or she files their tax return. So it's two completely separate responsibilities. So it is a requirement to do this, but it's followed up with a pretty heavy stick to make sure that you do it correctly. Now, when you think about, okay, at my institution, we've got a variety of types of payees. You've got employees, you've got students who are getting scholarships and fellowships, you have students who are working, you've got guest speakers, you have royalty recipients, you have prizes and awards. We just finished graduation season. For many of you, finished graduation season, and so you had the end of the term awards that you give out. You're buying all types of stuff. You've got contracts, performers, and the list goes on and on. So how are you going to tackle it? So I think that, of course, you need a set of policies and procedures. And when you go through those procedures, I think that there are really 10 steps that apply regardless of what your payment system is or what your category of payee is. Whether you have an employee or an entity or an individual who's getting a royalty or whatever, I think these steps cover it all. So the first issue is, of course, what are the facts? And that may be the most important issue, and it could be the most difficult one. Because as I said before, in many cases, if your procedures are geared toward the U.S. tax system, you're probably not asking as many questions as you need to ask. Or on the employee side, you may have a system in place that is geared toward the U.S. person and does not necessarily easily accommodate a potential foreign national popping in. So getting the facts, of course, I don't need to tell you, that's the key to anything. You cannot make a decision if you don't have the facts. Pull out your dartboard and start throwing darts at it, and you'll get just as good an answer if you're not asking the right questions. The next two issues, the reason they're in green, is that they go hand in hand. Everything in tax, let me say that again, everything in tax is dependent upon the combination of these two things. What's the residency status of the payee, and what's the category of the income? And I can tell you that when I got started in professional practice, which I know, hard to believe, was about 25 years ago. Obviously, I was 10 when I started, so I was a young prodigy at this. But when I got started in professional practice 25 years ago, and for the first few years of my professional practice, I thought the most difficult thing for my clients to do would be to identify the foreign nationals, like to weed them out. Because, of course, you don't want to be discriminatory. You don't want to look at the spelling of someone's name or the accent that they may have or how they dress or anything like that. So I thought that's going to be the hardest thing. But to this day, I have found that the most difficult thing for my clients to figure out is what it is that they're actually paying.